Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the AGI Greenpac Q3 FY23 results conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of AGI Greenpac. Hope you all and your family members are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajesh Khosla, President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Om Prakash Pandey, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q3 FY2023 earnings call. Before we begin our earnings call, it is with great sadness and sorrow that we wish to inform you that our respected Chairman and Managing Director, Dr. R.K. Somani, has left for his heavenly abode. Words cannot express the tremendous grief our company is experiencing at the loss of his death. Under his leadership, we grieve from strength to strength. We at AGI Greenpac would continue our growth trajectory based on the vision and principle of the late Dr. R.K. Somani, and focus our agile business model and innovation for creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. The board of director has appointed Mr. Sandeep Somani as the Chairman and Managing Director of the company with effect from 27th January 2023. We hope that you would have gone through the presentation already available on our website as well as on the stock exchange's website. As we have completely divested the building product division in the fourth quarter of FY2022 under Front Sale, AGI Greenpac is now packaging product-focused company. Therefore, all the numbers and comparative figures that we are going to highlight pertains to the continuing operation mainly consisting of packaging products business. Now, coming to quarter three FY2023 financials, the company delivered a strong performance and reported revenue from operation of rupees 567 crores compared to rupees 396 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, registering a growth of 43% on year-on-year basis. The company has reported an EBITDA of rupees 113 crores, registering a growth of 39% on year-on-year basis with margin of 20%. Net profit is stood at rupees 53 crore with a growth of 81% on year-on-year basis with margin of 9%. Now, I would hand over the call to Mr. Khosla to talk about packaging product business overall performance.
Thank you, Mr. Pandey. Good evening to all the participants. In quarter three of financial year 2023, our glass container plant capacity utilization has been around 95% as compared to 92% in the corresponding quarter last year. A rise in demand for the packaged food, non-alcoholic beverages, and beer segment continue to propel the growth of our packaging products in this quarter as well. The company commenced commercial production of its specialty glass manufacturing plant set up in Telangana with the installed capacity of 154 tons per day with effect from 1st January 2023. The continuing domestic consumption augurs well for our high-end and value-added products produced from this manufacturing facility. Thank you very much. Now we are ready for your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets when asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. It's very heartening to see such good performance. So I would have a few questions regarding the sustainability of these numbers. So currently our margins these margins in the packaging businesses are sustainable, or with higher demand we might even see better margins. So can you have any comment on what our revenue and margins would be in FY24?
So we feel that on a medium term range, these margins are sustainable margins. But for any business, there are external pressures which are beyond the control for certain quarters. Like if you see the results of quarter before, one or two quarters before, this was really impacted by increase in the gas prices, which was outside our control. But on a short term to medium term range, we feel that the margins are sustainable.
Okay, sir. And so with our new capacity, what kind of peak revenue are we projecting with our new Telangana capacity?
We have added the 154 ton new capacity which is there. And Rajesh, can you just talk about that?
This is a specialty glass and it carries a different revenue segment. We expect that in the peak of the time, then we will be utilizing almost more than 90% of our capacity. We will be able to add close to anywhere between 250 to 300 crores in our top line.
Oh, okay, so that helps a lot. So this peak, the new capacity will gradually increase. So any kind of our capacity utilization that we might expect for FY24, would it be...
I think so. Maybe we are able to reach our capacity, which is more than 90%, or I can say 85 to 90%, maybe in the first quarter of the next year.
Oh, that's very gladdening to hear. So with the added new capacity as well as our business that is growing currently strong, our growth can be above 20% maybe next year. We might be able to cross 2400 run rate, right? Because currently that's what we nearly are. So any revenue guidance you could, that would help me a lot, sir.
Rajesh.
I think with the 552 crores of packaging business in the quarter three, we should be closing close to around, on an annualized basis, it can be 2200 crores. And probably 300 crores if we add, we can be a shade below 2500 crores once everything goes on stream.
Okay. And sir, do we see any other risk in the business right now, some other external factors or something, that can, act as a speed bump to our growth, anything?
In our business, the risk associated with our business are practically same as associated with the other businesses. So the risk is on a demand side, the risk is on the geopolitical side, and risk is on the, some other parameters. But as far as substitutability risk is concerned, I don't think so there is any substitutability risk is there. As far as it's not a sunset industry, it's a sunrise industry. So those type of risks are not associated, but the risks which are beyond our control, like geopolitical risk or a recessionary risk, which is associated with all the business, it is associated with us also.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for a detailed answer. That helps me a lot. So all the best for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take our next question from the line of Vignesh Shah from KSC Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. My name is Sanjay Shah. All our phone get disconnected, so I could not hear your opening commentary. So sorry for any question which are new to me. So my question was regarding need to understand the volume growth in this quarter. So is this performance led to a volume growth or there was a price advantage coming to a place? That was the purpose to understand the volume of this quarter.
Let me answer with that. Regarding the volume growth, it is close to 7%. We got a volume growth. And rest of the growth is on the product mix and the cost. We have extensively worked on the cost part. The very good advantage when there is a fluctuation or when there is an inflationary trend, you try to work very hard on the cost structure of your business. And that is exactly what we have also done. So we got both the advantages on the cost structure advantage as well as product mix advantage. Besides that, there is around 7% growth on the volume side.
So by product means, user industry, you mean that is more towards the non-alcoholic customers?
When I say product mix, I say the percentage mix between A, B, C products so that we can get the maximum benefit out of that. That is what exactly I mean to say.
Okay. So can you run us through the new plant manufacturing which has started in Telangana? How was the start? How do you see the product coming out from the first batch itself? Our customer, we have sent samples to customers. Is everything in place? And what opportunity of customers do you see on that side?
The product is good because we have invested quite a good amount on a technology part. We have not compromised anything on the substandard quality or the substandard product as our policy and philosophy works in general. And our product is well acceptable in the market. We are getting a very good response from the market. So as such, we do not see any structural challenge from the market. And just before you, there was a question that what sort of risk is there. Our risk is same as the other business risk are there. And regarding your second part was, what sort of opportunity we are envisaging. The opportunities are, it's a new segment. So, and in India, the cosmetic industry is growing very, very fast. And with this population, which is entering into middle class and putting a lot of money on their self-grooming, so this industry is a sunrise industry. So we hope that we will be riding a wave of the sunrise industry and will get the maximum benefit in the future.
Right, sir. Sir, will it be possible to you comment on HNG resolution side?
We have been waiting for the necessary approvals it is pending at various ends, like including CCI and NCLT, and the appropriate disclosure has been made to the results. If you see, there is a note to the results. So beyond that, due to confidentiality, it's difficult for us to make any comment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For more questions, I'll come in to you. Sandeep ji, thank you. Thank you all, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. See, my question is on Hindustan National Glass only. See, their capacity is some multiple of your capacity. Now, once you take that over, there may be case of overcapacity. So how do you propose to tackle that? And secondly, how do you propose to finance that?
So I think since HNG resolution plan is a confidential and we are bound by the confidentiality clause under this, so it will be very difficult for us to make any comment on this. My apologies for this.
No, okay. Leave aside the financing plan, but as to the capacity, is that a running plant or it's already a closed plant?
So one plant is closed and a few of their furnaces are shut down. They have, according to the information, so they have 13 furnaces and around four furnaces, are shut down right now.
So what is the capacity? I mean, their capacity must be some multiple of yours, isn't it?
So, capacity usage depends on month to month, so we don't get that data right now because that was a part of the data room. So we have still not owned it, so we don't get any access to data right now from their side.
Okay, in glass business, what is your market share and what is HNG's market share? Say one, it was say a year back when they were all operational.
So if you see, this is a much bigger market. This is an overall packaging product market because most of our products which we sell, they get sold in different forms and the package different packaging. So the overall target market size is odd more than 30,000 crore plus, which we do.
You're talking of the glass containers only, or you are talking of the glass as well as plastic?
There's an overall market, you know, from glass containers to PET also because we do PET bottles also.
Okay.
And there are alternates which are available to customers like aluminium cans or tin packaging, or, you know, so there are different formats.
So all these put together is 30,000 crores, you are saying, is that right?
The market size is more than 32,000 crore as per our information.
Okay.
And exactly we don't know right now, you know, what sort of percentages will come through you know, consolidation as such. But on an overall basis, there's an ample opportunity for everyone to grow in this.
Okay. And when do you, what's the timeline for this HNG resolution coming through?
So again, these are all court convened processes, so very difficult to make any comment on this. My apologies, I'm talking again and again the same thing, but
okay.
Not enough.
Okay. And this 7% volume growth you have got this last quarter. Do you see the same continuing? I mean, what is the kind of growth you see in the container market, the 30,000 crore market? What is the percentage volume or value growth you see for the next 2-3 years?
Rajesh?
The volume growth will purely depend on the GDP because traditionally it has been seen when the GDP grows from $2,000 to $5,000, typically, it is 1 to 1.2 times the growth of the GDP. So it all depends upon how the country works out. If the GDP is 10%, the glass can grow by 12%. If the GDP is 5%, the glass will grow by 6%. So it
so
all
you're talking of this is volume, this 10% to 12%, say 1.2. So that is the volume you're speaking of?
I'm saying it's a typical glass industry, container glass industry behavior with respect to GDP in the framework of $2,000 per capita to $5,000.
I get that, but you're talking, when you're talking of say 1.2 times the multiples of GDP, that's in, suppose the growth is 10% and 12% for the
volume.
It's a volume growth. That's what I wanted to know. Okay, fine. That's what I wanted to know. Yes.
Values only depend upon the commodity pricing and other things. How the fuel, how the oil and crude oil and all these things will pair. So that is the value growth will come from.
Okay. Okay. So you're talking maybe at 20% more than the GDP growth is the volume growth.
This is what they have indicated, the economists have indicated from time to time. It can depend upon the country. It can be 0.8 also to 1.2 also. So depending upon country, the behavior of the people, traditions, culture, so many factors are there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question from the line of Mr. Yash Agarwal from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. I wanted to know what is the improvement in realization on a quarter-on-quarter basis, QOQ, for your glass business?
So basically, if you see on a quarter-to-quarter basis, last quarter the average realization was odd. I'm giving broad numbers, you know, around 34.
Yeah.
It has moved to almost 37,500.
Okay. And, you know, one of the major costs for glass manufacturers is natural gas. Now, globally, natural gas prices have come down and eventually it will even start reflecting in the domestic market. So will we be able to sustain these elevated realization in the context of higher gas prices and lower gas prices? Because, you know, if we are able to sustain, then ideally our margin should expand to about 20%. So what are your thoughts on this for the next few quarters?
Rajesh, may I request you on this?
Okay. The beauty of AGI is we are into the multiple fuel system and we work out the most economic model of the fuel consumption. So right now we may not be using any gas at all because it all depends upon the gas prices if there is the other fuel prices what we can use it. For example, like LPG or furnace oil and other things. So it is all sustainable and the economic model works very well. So even the gas prices have come down, but they are still higher than the alternate fuel which is available in the market. So though the prices have come down, but we have not used much of the gas in this quarter.
Okay. Got it. Fair enough. Okay, that's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take our next question from the line of Zaki Nasir from Individual Investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Zaki.
Sir, first of all, heartfelt condolences to the entire Somani family and the management and staff of the company. I would also like to congratulate the management on a wonderfully stable set of numbers. And sir, there are two or three questions, sir. Number one is the movement of the input prices, sir, with soda ash and gas and everything having a life of its own. How do you foresee that? And do you think it's normalized a bit? Number two would be regarding the new capacity, sir. What part of these new capacities would be tied up on a long-term basis and what would be available in the market? And as you all have indicated, a broad kind of a trajectory that this year it will be 2-2 and next year 2-5, and margins also would be sustainable. I would like to know what debt levels would you expect this year end and next year end, sir? Thank you.
So on the debt level, I can guide you right now. So we have a total debt of around 800 crores right now. And the debt may increase if the approval of HNG comes through. I can't quantify the figures right now due to confidentiality. But on your questions regarding capacity expansion and the input price, I would request Rajesh if you can take this, please.
Okay, if I understand properly, the question is... you mean to say the prices of soda ash and natural gas and other things, they are...
Yes, sir. Your major inputs, sir.
Your major inputs. So what is your question exactly, if you can repeat it? So
would you see your main inputs are maybe sand, soda ash and gas. So do you feel that next year the kind of levels we are seeing now, this would be a normalized kind of levels? Or would you expect them to soften further, sir?
Okay. See, the world is becoming more volatile. The price fluctuations and the cost fluctuations, particularly on the commodity side, is always there. For last 2 to 3 years, we have seen a very consistent volatility in the whole system. And the good part is now we as a management, we have been tuning ourselves to take care of these fluctuations or volatility. So we may not be much bothered about the volatility. Yes, there can be a time lag between when the things happen and when we settle down in the market. Those things can happen. So volatility, I am not able to predict. I cannot say anything on that. But yes, I can say like that, that AGI Glasstec has developed the robust systems of the operations where these volatilities are absorbed properly and the results are delivered accordingly.
Thank you, sir. And would you be comfortable with, in a normalized way, without talking of the HNG thing, the debt would continue at these levels, or do you think that will also reduce a bit with the increased cash flows?
You mean to say debt level?
Yes. I mean, let's not talk of... Yeah. If HNG comes through, but in our normal course of business.
Can you reply on this matter, please?
So, if you see, Mr. Akhil, today AGI is a standalone company. So all the profits which we generate, you know, are retained within the organization because we don't have any subsidiary or any investments as such. So all the profits which are there go in the first part in the reduction of working capital debt. And thereafter then we look at whether we can prepay some of the long-term loans as such. So, but there is a normal repayment which is happening, you know, odd 100 crores. There are some capex plans like, you know, we are already working at a very high capacity utilization of 90% plus. So we need to create a futuristic model. So wherein, you know, wherein in the very minimal amount, how we can debottleneck the capacity. So for one of the furnaces which is coming up for relining, we are expanding the base of the furnace and adding another 100 tons per day capacity there. So there we are spending. So the more or less the debt level ex HNG transaction should remain in this. Or should come down in next 12 months.
Okay, sir. That is fantastic. Fantastic. So another 100 tons will be added maybe from the next, I mean, couple of quarters down the line.
Yeah.
Fantastic, sir. Best wishes for the next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nikhil Khara from Abacus EMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a very good set of numbers. So my first question is, could you highlight what has been the price increase, if any, we have taken in this particular quarter?
Rajesh?
Mr. Sikka, the question is, the price increase taken in this quarter vis-a-vis last quarter. You mean to say Q2 versus Q3?
Yeah,
because I assume that we had taken somewhere around 28% price hike year over year in the previous quarter and 9% okay. Quarter on quarter. So in this particular quarter, if you can highlight what would have been the price increase.
The approximate price increase which has come to us is approximately around 6.5 to 7%.
This is an increase your quarter on quarter, right?
Now let me clear further. This price increase is basically because of the base price increase in our system as well as our product mix. If I divide the two, so I think we got around 3% of our price increase has come from the actual increase, and 4% increase has come from our product mix increase.
Understood. And this is quarter on quarter, I'm assuming.
Quarter on quarter. Yes, you are right.
Understood, sir. Got it. Just in terms of the demand scenario, now that, we are listening to a lot of commentary where a lot of consumption level slowdown is being witnessed across multiple sectors, and we sort of indirectly cater to the consumption demand. So how do you see this panning out in the upcoming quarter, and what's your view for FY24 from that perspective? Do you think there can be any impact on the volumes?
Okay. We are not immune with the whole thing, but I think we have developed a system where we have spread out our risk parameters, and we are present in the various segments so that we are able to absorb any fluctuations in the demand side. Now, second part is, in our products, we have also worked out which are the products which are on the lower side of the spectrum of fluctuation. As you see,
what are the community? Market type?
Again? I think there looks to be some disturbance.
So you may
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Rajesh, please continue.
Okay. When we see on a recessionary trend of a spectrum, there are the luxury goods which are there, which are hit on the first part, and there are the necessity goods which are hit on the last part. So some of our segments to whom we are supplying, they fall on the lower side of the spectrum, means they are the last one to get hit in the recessionary trend. So still there is a lot of buffer which still exists to take care of the recessionary trend. So I hope so. Since we have spread our risk, we are on the lower side of the spectrum, so we should be the last one to get hit on the recessionary trend. And rest, if the earthquake is more than 9 Richter scale or 10 Richter scale, so nothing can be done. But if it is on the lower scale, certainly there is a good amount of saving we have already already imbibed in our system.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Got it, sir. Sir, considering this switch from plastic to glass in this kind of a scenario, do you think that the switch which we have been witnessing from plastic to glass can also reverse because of this kind of an inflationary pressure, in your opinion?
It's already there. See, it's very difficult to calculate and to identify the change from glass to PET or PET to glass. It is an ongoing thing which is there. And this, with the increase in the prices of glass, a lot of glass have already switched to the PET and other things. But then there is an overall growth also. So we are not quite concerned about that. It's an ongoing thing which is today and always will be there. But overall, the glass market will be okay. It is quite balanced. And we hope that in the future also it will be reasonably balanced.
Understood. So just then on the EBITDA part, the margins part, if I understand, in the previous call you had mentioned that we would be comfortable with an EBITDA per metric ton of somewhere around 7,500. And if my calculation serves me right, I think we have already surpassed that number in this particular quarter. It would be somewhere around 8,200 to 8,500 range. So do you think that this is a new normal and you believe that, this is something we should work with in terms of our numbers, or you feel that it's more of a benefit where we are getting, lower cost structure with a higher realization and that might once again reverse in the upcoming quarters?
So very difficult to answer this on a very long-term basis, but I think we answered this as in a short to medium-term range.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that we should be able to maintain this. But if there are changes in the external environment, like what happened around almost 8-7 months back, mm-hmm. with the noxious changes in the prices, input raw material, especially soda ash, availability of material. So then all those quarters may get impacted by this, because definitely when you operate in a macro environment, anything happening in the macro environment do impact you. But on a medium, short-term to medium-term range, we feel that we should be able to maintain this range-bound EBITDA per ton.
Got it, sir. And sir, just two questions on the specialty glass division. When we say that we might achieve somewhere around 85% plus utilization, what would be the EBITDA per metric ton that we might make? Would it be like, I think you had mentioned it would be 25-30% higher than what we make in the current packaging division. So that statement still holds, or you think that it can even improve from there?
See, because the realization is higher in the specialty glass, so obviously on an absolute term, this EBITDA will be higher than the normal glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But can you give a broad range what kind of EBITDA per metric ton can be possible from the specialty business?
Little difficult. But I think so. It will be on a percentage-wise, it should be close to what we have been achieving, or maybe a little better than what we are achieving on a percentage-wise. On an absolute term-wise, obviously, when the realization is higher, the number will be much higher accordingly.
So EBITDA per ton can be higher around 20-30% from what we do right now. And this is based for, next 12 to 18 months. But once the furnace will get loaded, have a full flow of orders, things may be better than this then.
So we can work with around 11,000 odd EBITDA per metric ton, 10,000 to 11,000.
Yeah, ranging.
I think it is just the extrapolation of the number, what you are doing.
Fair enough, sir.
We should be targeting accordingly. Yeah.
Understood. So, and just lastly on the balance sheet front, looking at the run rate that we are doing in terms of EBITDA, we might close anywhere between 380 to 400 crores of EBITDA on a full year basis. And you mentioned that there is a repayment of debt of 100 crores. So just wanted to understand, because I think somewhere down the line we will make some free cash of maybe close to if my numbers serve me right, close to 300, 350 odd crores. And if you're just doing that 100 crore of payment, this 250 odd crores, are you saying that we are just budgeting it for when HNG comes through, and apart from the realigning of the furnace, or do you think if HNG does not happen, then the focus would be on a new capex, and hence the debt would remain at these levels?
So if hypothetically you assume 400 crores of EBITDA for the year, then you have to charge for interest also and the taxes and the dividend.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we have to provide for the core working capital margin because of the changes in the input raw material prices. So the point which I was trying to say is any surplus free cash flow which we generate obviously goes towards reduction of working capital limits. So that was the point which I was trying to say.
And that would be right now, the working capital debt?
I don't have the working capital increase, so I don't have the number right now. I can get back to you on this.
Got it, sir. And sir, any increase in the interest cost, interest rate from the last quarter?
It's almost the same because again, most of this gets linked to repo rates. But in last 1 year, interest rates have increased by around 2%, by around 30-33%.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you for answering all my questions. I'll come back in the view. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Preet Malde from Central Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Actually, I wanted to understand what countries do we export to? You've mentioned that around approximately 20% of our sales come from exports. So what countries do we export to?
We export to North America, we export to Europe, we export to Africa, and we also export to Middle East. So these are the countries we have been exporting.
Okay. And secondly, our procurement of raw materials, it is mainly from Kenya, and you have also said that we also procure from a few local players as well. So what is the share? Are we highly dependent on Kenya, or is that also diversified?
No, even our raw material, whichever we import, it is well diversified. And the Kenya plant belongs to Tata. So we are dealing locally and assuring that it is risk-free. So we are covering up like that. Say if anything happens in Kenya, tomorrow we have the fallback arrangement in India or elsewhere also. And it's a continuous exercise. We have been doing it in other countries also. So now we are importing from even America and other sources also.
Okay, so even that is diversified. All right.
Yes.
And do we have any plans of expanding more in the pet and closures business?
Absolutely. We already have a capacity there. The focus is right now to build on that capacity and increase the turnover. And right now we are focusing there. There can be some, you know, machines put in to debottleneck or for certain machinery, you know, with sort of specific purpose. But right now the focus is to utilize the capacity which is there.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Bhatia from Dalal & Broacha Stock Brokings. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, one question was, sir, this quarter, what was the revenue which we did from the Telangana plant?
Sorry, go again.
Sir, what was the revenue which we generated from the new Telangana plant?
So there was no revenue right now because the commercial production has started only on 1st of January 2023. So the sales of the new Telangana plant 154 ton has not been recognized. One element of cost has been recognized, which is interest on working capital, which is relating to because it's under a trial and production, so which has been recognized as per the accounting standard. From this quarter onwards, the revenues from 154 ton furnace will be recognized as a part of P&L.
Okay. Sir, and so this quarter onwards, it would be fully utilized towards that 80-90% odd, or how is it?
Rajesh, can you?
I think we have already replied to that. All the efforts have been there to use the capacity utilization around 85%. So we are trying to use the 85% capacity utilization. And product is well established in the market, well acceptable in the market. And now we have to see how the market overall behaves in the overall scenario.
Okay. And so this 250 odd crore revenue which we expect on peak, what kind of EBITDA margins can this generate?
I think just before that, I replied that as a percentage EBITDA margins, we expect that it should be close to, it is close to what we have been generating right now on a percentage basis.
So, but it won't contain those special products which will have an EBITDA higher by 25-30%?
It will come slowly, slowly. It's not like that because once we have started our production, we have started entering in a market. So slowly, slowly, we will be entering to more value-added customers, value-added marketing, adding more of the characteristics to the glass. So certainly, we will be trying to reach to those levels. But because the realization is higher, even if the percentage is same, so the absolute number is much higher than what we are getting now.
Right.
Since the realization would be higher, so absolute EBITDA per ton will be higher. So percentages may be in the range bound.
Okay. Okay. And sir, in terms of this, if you could just let us know what is the raw material inflation in this quarter vis-a-vis the last quarter?
The inflation on the raw material is reasonably controlled. Because majority fuel is there, fuel is well under control, it is not rising as much, it is stabilizing with some numbers, and once the fuel is stabilized, we have seen that the other commodities also stabilize normally. So we hope so that if we see Q2 versus Q3 or Q3 versus Q4, things will be much more stable now. There may not be much of the inflationary trend, except the dollar, whatever dollar will depreciate, so there can be impact on that part. Other rest, everything will be well under control.
Okay. So, but if you were to compare it to on a YOY basis or on a QOQ basis in terms of absolute raw material inflation, what would be the number?
If you see on Y basis, we have already discussed that. Almost, if you see, say around 30% has been the cost increase which has happened, and same has been the price on YOY basis, Q3 right. versus Q3 basis.
Right.
So and the same, the price has compensated us. So that is how the whole thing has gone up.
Okay. Okay. And sir, you mentioned that in terms of fuel, we are using still the alternative of gas. So at what price does gas become viable for you?
See, it all depends. It's a relative term. The price of gas versus price of other alternate fuel. It's a very relative. Every day situation changes. For example, like furnace oil. Today, the price of furnace oil is close to around 45 rupees and the gas price is around 52 rupees. So, it doesn't match up. And looking to the calorific value of the gas and the furnace oil, I think we can always calculate accordingly. All these numbers are well in the public domain. The calorific value of the gas, the calorific value of the furnace oil, and the prices of the furnace oil and the prices of the gas. They all are in public domain and they are very dynamic in nature. So you have to calculate on a daily or a periodical basis to have a decision.
Okay. Okay. And sir, do we have anything like order book sort of a thing in hand or even that is very dynamic?
Again, I have not understood.
Do we have any order book in hand?
Order book in hand?
Yes.
What do you mean by order book in hand, please?
So, meaning we would be supplying to these OEMs, right? So, or these 500 players Do we have any kind of a order already in place for the next quarter? Are we booked in terms of
capacity? Oh yeah, yeah. See, we are a very integrated supply chain support system. So all our customers, we are dependent on us, but on us or even our counterparts, our competitors, to have their regular supply chain arrangement. So we have the long-term broader understanding with the customers, and the orders comes on the month-on-month basis, which are basically SKU-wise orders which are being dispatched to us. But on a broader level, we have the understanding on a year-to-year basis. So customers tell us that in this year, they are going to lift approximately this much of tonnage, and we plan accordingly.
Okay, okay. So any volume guidance would you be able to give for the current year or next year?
We are already running with 95% capacity utilization in quarter three, and which is quite high as compared to the normal conditions. So I think a few percentage or a small percentage here and there can move out, because it's very difficult to achieve even 100% of the capacity utilization. But obviously, when there is a demand in the market, so we will try to achieve maximum capacity utilization. So that is what is the controlling factor on the volume side to us.
Okay. Okay. And sir, if you could just give some understanding on the current working capital cycle.
If you see, you know, right now we use a cycle of odd 90 days as such, which includes inventory, receivable, and trade payable. So as a part of our industry, in many quarters, we make orders to stock with some visibility of our customers. And in some quarters, you know, like when the beer season comes, it's not that we produce bottle only during the season. So we keep producing the bottles, and when the customers demand, you know, we can offload those bottles as such. But right now, the overall cycle is odd 90 days. We intend that there's an opportunity here, but we can reduce it by another 10, 15 days. But that again, you know, depends on quarter to quarter how it works.
Okay. Okay. And so would you be able
sorry to interrupt? Mr. Kunal, may we request you to join the question queue, yeah, sir, as we have many participants waiting in the queue for the turn?
Yeah, no worries, ma'am. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for again an opportunity. So my basic, it would like to have some basic understanding from you regarding HNG asset. And we, as you said, that few furnaces are closed, and maybe I understand few may be insufficiently run because of loss making. So how long these assets are good for us to acquire? Because it takes a lot of time from authorities. So is it that machineries, equipments get worn out or get don't give that efficiency what we require? So is there any timeline what we feel that we should wait for that?
So it's very difficult for us to answer anything on HNG right now, because all these are part of resolution plans. Only thing I can say is that we can't put a time and a date when the acquisition will happen, because these are all under the proceedings of the courts under the National Company Law Tribunal. And the assets when we acquire it, that will be more or less on as is, where this is, of the furnace condition of that particular time. So I know I can't fully answer your question, but then there are confidentiality clauses which, you know, President has to talk about this.
No. I appreciate. I don't want anything which is confidential, but just to need basic understanding, when furnaces are closed for such a long time, are they viable to get operated with some small capex for any acquirer?
So basically, if you see, you know, the glass, for making glass, you require a furnace and you require molding machines and the packing machines.
Right.
So furnace has a life, and once you restart the furnace, you can, you know, do a cold repair, or you can do a full level of repair as such, depending on what is the condition of the furnace. But you can definitely operate it. But again, it is all linked to, you know, what quantum of efficiency you want to build it in the furnace. That is contingent. I'm not talking per se from HNG. I'm talking in general right now.
Right. Sir, after this HNG going into difficulty, was it possible us to gain market share from the customers from that side, because they are also very large player, I suppose, and we both command a very large
position. I can't take that question, please. Thank you.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nikhil Gara from Abacus AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. I think you already alluded to this point, but just wanted some amount of confirmation on the same. So in a declining price scenario, both in terms of RM as well as power cost, would it be, how prudent would we be in terms of keeping a certain part of it with us and passing on? Or is it, because I generally believe that it happens with a lag of maybe 2-3 months, but do you think that we have to pass on all the benefits that we have achieved because of this power and RM as and when they go down?
So Nikhil, we have given on a short-term to medium-term range, this is sustainable. Because it's not that the everything is coming from selling price. Mr. Kosai talked about selling prices. Many of things are coming from better product mix. You know, we are working with more and more customers, you know, which can create more value for us. Given the fact that we are right now constrained on the capacity side, you know, we are talking to more customers, so we sell more value-added material to them or a higher realization material to them. So major chunk of, you know, when we make a statement that we should be able to sustain, it's based on the fact that we should be further able to enrich our product mix. Definitely, if there is a substantial price reduction based on our contract with our customers, we will have to do that adjustments over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And sir, just on the capex front, what kind of a capex cost would be there for FY23 and for FY24 now that we are also planning for realigning of the furnace?
Mr. Khosla, you have that figure, or Mr. Pandey?
Mr. Pandey has the figure. Yeah.
Can you repeat your question?
Sir, I need a capex cost for FY23, and if we have any budget for FY24 as well.
So basically, if you see overall, we'll be spending around 150 to maybe 175 crores more. This includes the relining cost. As well as, you know, upgrading the furnace by another 100 tons. But this is on a horizon of next 12 months. All this machinery, we keep investing into, you know, further upgrading. As Mr. Kosar said, that majority of our initiatives are focused right now on creating internal efficiencies. And like historically, we invested money in the fuel mix. And today, we are getting those benefits out of the fuel mix. So there are a number of projects which are internally benchmarked, and few of them would require capex. But our guidance is that on the cash spent basis, maybe 150 to 175 crores in next 12 months in terms of relining of the furnace and as well as the expansion of 100 tons per day.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
No, I'd like to thank everybody who joined us today. I think a very good set of questions asked. A few of them we couldn't answer due to the our constraints, especially relating to HNG. Maybe once the deal fructifies and gets approval, all the approvals, we'll talk more extensively on this. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.